the three of you start heading over toward the stable, which appears to be the building up top, which is blocked off right now. Afsana's walking ahead of you.
Can we hear or see any movement from inside?
No, like, you put your ear to it. No.
Are the doors locked? Do we just open it?
You don't see any place for a lock. There's just, like, a simple handle on a wooden door. If it's locked, it would be barred from the inside.
Well, there's no such thing as traps, so I'm gonna walk up and, unlatch the door. Arkin sees me, walking up there, and it's like, ah, fish again, you know? Pulls his, musket up. It's, you know, aims it while I, walk up there.
So you're just throwing the door open?
Well, no, I'm not just gonna, like, kick it.
But you are just opening it?
Yes.
So, stable. Seems to be full of stuff. What are these?
What is this place here? It's like looking around, shuffling through stuff.
It looks like, is it a table full of tools down here?
Yeah, so I imagine they don't have horses under the water, eh?
No. We make friends of the docile sea creatures, but we live in a symbiotic relationship with them, it's not a master and a servant relationship as I've found on land.
I'm gonna have you all make some perception checks. Brad rolled a 19, Emily rolled a 1. Roll one for Arkin too, somebody.
Nice. 17.
Afsana, you're going around the stables and you're checking things out and you're looking at the tools and you're just like kind of exploring it while they're having their conversation in the background. Though Arkin and Azeroth, you quickly fall silent as you hear something stirring. Arkin and Azeroth, go ahead and roll initiative. And as you turn to face the direction of the noise, a creature lumbers out of one of the stalls.
Whoa.
It reminds you of that brute that you fought in the streets when you first entered here, but much smaller. It's scaled, brown scaled at that, much like the dragon you saw back in the desert. But it also has like misshapen limbs. Its scales seem to be molting in some places. It's not a huge beast. It has a sickly appearance to it. So that said, it raises a claw to swipe down against the unsuspecting Afsana.
Afsana notices this beast far too late as it's already moved up behind her and moves to strike.
And it slashes across your chest for 5 points of damage. Azeroth.
Noticing a little too late, he, I guess, knocks his shin into whatever this thing on the map is right next to him. A
dilapidated cart.
So he actually trips on his way, delaying him, eventually gets his footing and runs up to aid Afsana.
Arkin will be up next.
So he's still holding his musket. He's going to drop the musket and run, drawing his maul. Azeroth, while Arkin's running up, since he stumbled, he just tucked it into a roll and came up with a forward thrust.
Which unfortunately...
I rolled a 2. I rolled a damn 2. I'm glad I didn't roll a 1.
You rolled enough to bring you into range.
He's
Arkin.
Arkin, he just does the typical dwarven overhand John Henry hit. He hits.
So So it crashes heavily into Externum, and you definitely hear ribs break, and it stumbles backwards and opens its mouth to shriek, and nothing comes out. Its hands go down to its knees, and it's barely standing.
Watching as Arkin's maul just crunches into the chest of this creature, Afsana reaches down to her belt and draws her Kopesh in preparation to attack or fend off another claw.
From out of a stall behind the first creature peeps a second, a little larger. This one is winged, and it looks like those wings could actually pull it off the ground. However, its bulk keeps it from getting beside the first one.
Arkin is going to pull back his John Henry hammer and take another swing.
So the beast resets itself and then positions both its claws to swing by its knees and come raking upward across Afsana.
Withdraw!
Then from the last stall, being awoken by all the noise, runs another one. However, he cannot get past the massive wingspan of this flying creature in front of it, and just stands back there hissing and jumping in his oxidable, like trying to clamber and crawl past it, like you're trying to make your way out of a mosh pit. Thankfully, Afsana, you are able to wheel away from it, turning to your side and stepping back, giving it a smaller target, and it slices helplessly through the air. You narrowly avoid being rend asunder by its claws. Azelrath.
You can see, like, jumped away. So he's gonna pull back that thrust, spin backwards, and do, like, a 180-degree turn that will pivot him, like, pivoting on his left foot, and he's going to bring that sword in a horizontal slash.
So your sword, made from the bones of a fish whose name I've honestly forgotten, well, as hard as steel. You spin around, swing it horizontally, and your sword comes in contact with a metal buckle on the wooden post. You didn't think about it as you were spinning. It clangs loudly, and you just feel your hands go numb as the blade slices through the buckle and the post and connects with the Alcar, the beast in front of you, cleaving into his ribs, withdrawing as it hits his spine and dropping him to the ground. Your eyes peer at your blade, and there's a slight nick out of it where it hit the metal, where it'll never be whole again.
Oh, man.
The creature standing in front of Afsana, as it sliced uselessly through the air, suddenly is shorn in two by Azeroth's blade swinging across its midsection, and it slumps uselessly to the ground in front of Afsana. Looking ahead of her at the brute with wings, she doesn't quite feel like moving any closer to it. She's going to stay where she is as these two jostle for position further down into the stable.
Arkin, he's gonna pull out his pistol because he dropped his musket. Well, Azeroth gets another attack then. He's going to move up and attack the large brute. Alarmed by the fact that his sword was damaged, and it angers him, and though his uncle always taught him to control his anger, he gives out a yell as he does a cartwheel, a one-handed cartwheel, using his magic hand to hold the ground, and when he finishes it, he brings the sword completely over his head and straight down on this creature.
Your sword comes crashing down, shearing off its left wing. blood comes from the... I mean, apparently there wasn't a lot of arteries traveling up that thing or anything. It was like, probably be about like cutting off a few fingers.
It's like a T-Rex wing?
Yeah. But blood is definitely coming out of the stump, and it is obviously in reach. Behind you, the wall that you have sliced through falls to the ground in a crash.
Arkan is just going to fire at the big guy. Nice! Way to go, Arkan!
The bullet whizzes by you, going through the other wing, but just like the membrane of it.
Yeah.
Before flying back and hitting the opposite wall.
Azeroth is going to pull back, thrust forward. He thrusts forward with his sword. The bone one. Yeah!
Oh. Hey!
Holy crap!
That!
Yeah!
Dragon wannabe.
So the flyer raises both its claws in the air, like opening its arms wide, enraged at its missing wing, and it's about to come toward you, slashing downward, when you seize the opportunity and drive your sword in deep. It sinks into the torso of the beast, and through just sheer strength, after even the initial impact, you keep pushing, and it keeps sliding and sliding until the hilt is up against its breastbone, and you are face to face with it. Its look of terror meeting your grimace on your face, and your jaw set in determination. You tilt your sword down just a bit, and it slides backwards off of it onto the ground, leaving you staring directly into the eyes of the last beast man left.
Arkan is going to pull out his other belt pistol.
Apsana.
Alright. As the adrenaline of the first claw to her chest fades, Afsana notices how much she's bleeding and decides to stay out of the way of Arkan standing next to her with the pistol. Turns him and shouts out, "Last one's yours."
So you step forward to get out of his way so he can go around the corner, and suddenly your foot sinks into the ground. A small piece of the floor breaks underneath your foot, and you don't go down far, but it goes up to your shin.
Oh no.
So the last of the beasts stares at Azeroth with the grimace on his face and the bloodlust in his eyes, his lips pulled back and his elven teeth bared. He looks down on the ground on the large flying creature in front of him that is pretty much diced to pieces, and the blood is spreading around his feet. And then he looks back at Azeroth again and hisses out in shaky common, "Yield!"
Oh, man.
Arkan.
He approaches holding his pistol out the whole time. Azeroth points his sword at him, then sheaths it, and turns around to help.
Well, right before you turn around, he takes off running.
Wait, what?
He's going to try and run past you. He's booking toward the door.
Yeah, Azeroth hits him for 9.
Sadly, you do not get a chance to take that attack of opportunity, Asana.
Sadly not.
You turn toward him with your Kopesh, and you raise it up, ready to kill him, and you just see him fall in front of you as Azeroth slices across his stomach.
He starts himself running to the ground. I barely did anything.
He starts running, and Azeroth just kind of holds his sword out horizontally and just runs across it.
Clothesline style.
Exactly.
The stable grows quiet. You're standing over a pile of bodies.
That gunfire might have attracted any of these creatures' allies. We should be on guard. I turn around to help Afsana out of the hole. So apparently there's another floor or something underneath.
And it just went up to like halfway up her shin.
Okay, well there's still a crawl space then, right?
Probably.
That something might be hidden in?
Something underneath there.
Afsana, yeah. You pull your leg free from the hole in the floor. Some hay falls down below.
Afsana crouches down to investigate if there is, in fact, a basement or a crawl space underneath there.
You almost get your hand down to the elbow when you reach into the hole. There's a bunch of dust.
Afsana stands back up and turns the two of them. Maybe there's something down there, but I couldn't find it.
Seriously, though, if there was anybody in that other building, I'm sure they've been alerted.
They'd know we're here.
That perhaps we shouldn't be here.
Or, I don't know, maybe check for another way into that building? Mark, and you, since I can move a little quicker than him, I run over, grab his musket, run back by the time he's taken one step, and hand him his musket.
Just a reminder, there are buildings across the street as well.
Oh.
I think we should check out.
Well, how about we search the rest of the stable first?
Sure.
The only stuff you find are what you find on the bodies.
Okay, well, what do they have?
All right, so amongst all of them, you find Afsana, you recognize what it is, and so Sarkin, Azarath, you've never seen this before. But you find sheets of green, kind of yellowish paper. With the same design on each one. Afsana, you recognize them as gnomish one notes, since they use them in Elwyn's Cove and Zansanturina, and you find 16 of them. But that's really all you find of value in here. Everything else is pretty much ruined and splintered and defecated upon.
And we don't see any evidence of humans?
No. No, you see no evidence of humans.
After that mark on Azarath's sword, I'm looking for a new one that I could use so I can preserve my blade of rights. It's the blade that I helped create to become a blade singer.
Between this larger building across from us with all of the columns around it, and the building next to us.
There's actually two buildings across from you. There's one that's really plain and one with the columns around it.
Would you rather check out this big one first?
Yeah, I would rather go to the one with the columns around it.
Across the street?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This is your lands, and you seem to have an insight on your environment.
I can't quite say why for sure, but maybe it's just pure curiosity, or maybe after the vision.
It matters not, Afsana. I trust your vision.
Can we tie up the horse, by the way?
Stay.
I'm gonna tie up the horse.
Stay. You just stay right here, and we'll be right back, and we'll feed you more.
I say that to the horse.
It gives equivalent verbal reaction of shrugging its shoulders.
Oh, lame. Afsana.
Azarath.
Where do you think your people... Jakir mentioned that your people were driven from here. Could you have seen your own people being raided by that tyrant?
It's possible. And at first I thought that's what I saw. But we Delharun have dragon blood. It's far distant in our past, but it's there. And these conquerors looked draconic. You saw the statue at the city gates. That man was half dragon for sure. So I wonder if what I saw was actually my people or our ancestors as conquerors instead of as conquered.
Oh, so you are a blend of both.
It's so.
To my knowledge, there has never been an offspring of a human and an elf. But if there was, that's the only combination I can see. There's never any blending between the Narthulians. That's the word we use to describe ourselves, sea elves. It's derived from the city of Narthuk that floated in the air and fell to the sea. My people were spared by Markesh, and that's why we refer to ourselves from the city that we originated from. We once flew, and now we swim. Aside from divine intervention from Markesh, as the church always told us, that's the only explanation.
Are there still elves that fly?
I believe so. I've only ever come across the skeletal remains of them. Brethren in the sky.
They still live. I have seen them.
They do? Or is it only fairy... Have you only heard fairy tales that I have?
Damn it, Fish, I said I'd seen them, didn't I?
Alright.
It said they have a city above the Elven Lands. Once I had business have brought me to the north of the Elven Lands, where the Wood Elves dwell. We were going through the wilderness there. Dangerous place, mind you. And I saw come down through the clouds, maybe a dozen, swoop down, almost like they're on some sort of patrol, and go back up. Azarath, I mean you no offense when I say this, but they were the most beautiful elves I've ever seen.
None taken. I'm not a vain man.
Well, obviously, you're dressed in rags.
Is that how you identify yourselves? Dwarves. I've heard of your obsession with gold trinkets. I only use it as currency.
You're speaking about the bones of the earth.
He holds out his wrist, and there is a metal bracelet that snakes around it two times with looks like a jagged edge cut off of it.
This is dwarven currency, lad.
Well, I reveal mine.
This is your currency?
When I first ventured out from Esalathias, this city beneath the sea, I went on a patrol and I found on the sea floor, next to an old sunken ship, was this gold bracelet.
For the dwarves, when we need to pay something, we just cut off the right amount from the bracelet. They are made of silver and copper.
I pull out mine and it's a band of intertwining snakes, serpents that complete a loop, and I believe there's a small chunk taken out of it, just like Arkan's.
Where'd you get that?
Well, I just told you I found it on the seafloor on my first mission outside of the city.
The seafloor, eh?
Yes, next to a sunken ship. Maybe inside a chest.
I had met elves before you, Azarath, but this is the first time I realized that there are elves beneath the seas.
We prefer a milder climate, but we can be found everywhere.
Beneath the sea, in the air, in the cities, in the forest, under the ground, you can't throw a rock in this world without hitting at least 7 elves and their cousins.
Yes, and we trip over your kind at every step.
Arr.
Damn elves, damn elves.
We want to go up to this,
sure.
The comms.
Is it in fact a door, or is it just an open archway?
It is indeed a door.
A lock? Does it seem to be a jar? What's the deal there?
So as you approach the door, you see something written in, appears to be like the Delruan script of Common, or at least some form of it down the line, and it just says, "Justice will be served" on the door.
Afsana turns back to Azarath and Arkan.
Is this a warning for us, or is this? Oh, this is a So this was the justice building. This was the probably the prison.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
Justice.
Well, I don't know what that implies, so
it's
rare that any elf is imprisoned.
I just imagine that this is in better shape in terms of, it's not ruins, yeah? It's right. an intact building, so perhaps it's been used more recently, or it's just survived the passage of time.
So you stay in front of the door.
I knock.
Well, there's no such thing as traps. So
precisely.
Shall we?
My idea of avoiding traps is to just open the door a little slower.
So the door slowly creeps open, gaining you a visage of the room inside. The stonework in here, or what remains of it, looks to be rather fine. Straight across from the door, on either side of the room, there's a staircase going up, and passageway leading from it to more of the center of the room, where there is a, almost like a little, not an alcove, but almost like a balcony high above everything else in the center of the room. Beneath that overhang is, you see a chain and manacle set into the ground, and a stone block with many chips in it, worn away somewhat. Also on either side of the overhang, there is a statue. Azeroth, roll a perception.
I roll a 3, then.
I don't know, it's a woman. All humans look alike. Are you going to enter?
Yeah. Do I see an enemy? I mean, I have my sword drawn, but...
Every step you make across the floor resonates and echoes in this large empty room. And you get a sense of stern history from it all. By the stone set on the floor now, you see the remains of an axe, its blade chipped and worn away to uselessness.
Okay. Executioner's block,
she says from outside the door.
Sana moves forward through the doorway behind Azeroth and glimpses the high seat of judgment above and the face of punishment below. Can I make a perception check to see if I recognize the statues?
No need. You recognize the statue. The statues look just like the woman in your vision. And you feel a burning against your chest.
Are you alright, lass?
I am. This is the woman from my vision.
And there's a flash. And you see her standing atop that seat of judgment, wearing fine clothing. It's obvious this is after that initial vision you had in Times of Chronology. There are what looks to be nobles lining the walls of the place, standing all about. And you notice all the nobles are also, unlike the nobles you saw in the earlier vision, of pale and sickly, wearing fine clothing. These men and women alike are all strong, rigid of back, swords at their sides, grim-faced and staring on as a black-haired man is chained, his head across the stone. There is but one punishment for your crime. Her voice carries, and she looks and you swear she's looking directly at you. And the next words happen not so much in your ears, but in your head. Those that would betray die. An executioner swings the axe down, and the strike against the stone is loud and resonating, and you're standing in the empty hallway again.
Afsana's eyes snap open, and almost breathless, she blurts out into the echoing chamber, "Those that would betray, die." She's the judge. Judge and jury.
Huh.
What are you talking about, Lass?
Another vision. This one somewhat later than the first, but the woman is the same, that much is clear. She was standing while a room full of this city's strongest and finest looked on, grim acceptance.
Azeroth, as you climb the stairways and you're standing in that very same place she's describing as she speaks, the visage is just very, very clear to you. Like, you can see exactly what she's talking about. Not to say that you're having a vision, it's just staring down, you can imagine the condemned's head against the stone. The view from up there is great. It just feels of one of power. Make that check again.
As I, like, come up around the statues.
Yes.
Oh, 18. So,
as you look at the statue, while certainly different, you can't help but think, having never seen this woman before, that it in some small way resembles Afsana.
I take a closer look at Afsana, and I look at the statue. Something either special or there's definitely, she's powerful. Maybe this woman was could wield powers of the mind as well.
Are you musing out loud?
No, this is just what I'm thinking.
Okay.
I will mention it to Arkin later, but... Or, you know what? I tell Afsana.
Calling down from the stairs.
It looks an awful like you!
It's true. Something about this place makes me think that these conquerors were the forefathers and foremothers of the Delverune.
It's true, though. You command power beyond what you've probably expected of yourself.
You're right about that. If we ever make it back to my tribe alive, I have many questions to ask Rua about our people's history. How is it that a place like this, that obviously teems with such power, could exist in the desert without the stories reaching us?
She probably has all the answers, you just never ask the right questions.
Arkin makes his way over to the axe, leans the haft up against the stone, and stomps on it, breaking off the head.
I've never seen a city like this.
He places it into his bag.
I want to remember it.
Nice thought.
Arkin has his axe. I have a crystal. Azeroth, you're the only one missing a souvenir.
We have two buildings left to clear out, my dear friend.
So we do. Onward. To the south?
Yes. Let me lead, though, my dear.
As you wish. I choose where we go, and you hold the sword while we get there.
Afsana, make a willpower check.
Oh. Okay, I got a 9. Mm-hmm.
Where's the stone?
It's in a pouch on my belt.
Find yourself unconsciously that you've been wringing your hand in your belt pouch, kind of running your hand over it. You just notice it now. You have no idea how long you've been doing it.
Does the ash stone control your mind? Can it do that?
Does she say this aloud?
I do. I say this aloud.
I stop immediately in my tracks. It is the blood of a demon. It holds its essence. Of course it will control you. And I don't know how susceptible you're more open to the rest of I have no idea how to understand your powers. But if you control things just with your mind, it's gotta be a big burden to, you know, hold this thing. I think you should give it to me.
The mind is naturally closed. With skill and concentration, it can be opened. But you're right. An open mind can wield power, but also is vulnerable to power being used against it. I found myself clutching at the ash stone without even realizing it, without knowing how long I had been. I don't know whether to trust you with it, but I don't know whether to trust myself with it either.
Arcane is kind of casting suspicious glances at both of you right now.
Afsana.
Can we?
It's a burden. We need to relieve all of ourselves from it. We must press on. If it happens again, and we're going to keep a better eye on you now, let us know.
Is it a burden that can be shared? Could we pass it back and forth?
Oh, I certainly think so. But I think Arkan disagrees.
Afsana turns to Arkan and raises an eyebrow.
Azarath, we've traveled together for a while now. We've seen each other through a war. We've been on the sea, and we've been in the desert. As a fighter, well, if you ever ask me to repeat this, I'll bend you over and spank you with that sword of yours. But you're good. And you've gotten better. But you're rash. You're impulsive. If that stone controls people, it'll tear you apart, pup.
He speaks the truth.
Then we press on.
Aye.
Azarath starts walking ahead, taking point. Arcane reaches out and touches your solar Afsana as you start to move past him.
Be careful. If you're feeling anything, let me know. I'll take the stone if I have to. But just be careful.
Thank you. I'll do the best I can. I'm glad to know you're willing to take the stone, although I can tell that you don't want it.
I have seen what the last one did, and what this one has done.
Who can blame you? I don't want it either.
Sooner we can get rid of the damn thing,
the better. With that, Afsana turns and strides off toward the south.
So this building is rather simple. Stone walls. The door is of simple wood. There appears to be no inscription or anything on it.
I open it.
So, opening the door to this room, it's pretty bare bones. You see the remains of various bunks. And it seems like the farther the room goes on, the less of them there are. Which makes sense when you notice that the whole room is covered in dark soot. And that there is the remains of a fireplace in the corner.
So somebody's been using it as shelter.
Recent remains, or?
And it's not still hot or anything. But there's not like a fireplace or anything built into the wall. It's
got it.
Does any other search of the room find anything?
You give it the once over, you turn over some beds. There's really nothing going on here.
Okay.
One
more building.
One more building.
One more building.
All right, so Afthana's making her way down there.
I'm right behind her. Okay.
I'm keeping my distance. I'm trying to kind of feel out what this place is.
So this has a large double door. Like, it looks like you could put a cart through it. It's large. It's looming over you.
It's imposing.
The final building, a crumbled column, lies to one side of the entranceway, and one upright one lays to the other. There's a large double door there, big enough to pull a cart through.
Open up. Whoa.
The large double doors slowly swing open, showing a building that is mostly barren.
It's a warehouse?
Or, yes. Storeroom of some sort? Are those, like, I think I can see barrels across on the opposite wall.
Uh-huh. I'm going to step in so maybe I can see more.
Some that are intact, but some that seem to have fallen apart with age or decay. Or are these, like, sacks of grain up along the north wall?
There's sacks of something?
Sacks of something. I'm going to go investigate those sacks.
I'm going to go check out the barrels.
What's in those sacks?
You bend down to inspect the sacks, and they're like, the burlap is rotted away
in
some spaces. And once upon a time, this looks like it very well might have been rice. But it has since gotten a lot of moisture in there, and worse than that, it's crawling with maggots.
Yeah.
Which you imagine is why it's there untouched. Azarath. You start checking out the barrels, and they mostly seem cracked open, but you're knocking on them, and down the bottom of the stack, you knock on one, and there's some sloshing.
Is there a cork?
Yes.
Okay. I uncork it and let some of it come out. Let's start there.
It starts, like, spilling out of the keg in spurts, quickly overflowing your hand.
Okay, uncork it.
Your hand burns. It smells rainy but fragrant.
Why did I put my hand out for anyone else? Not the wisest guy.
Like, not burns. Burns like disinfecting burns. Burns not
okay.
Like your hands on fire burns.
It's not acid.
It's not acid.
So this is an antiseptic burn. Like, it's such extremely strong alcohol. Does it smell like alcohol?
It doesn't smell like the wine you brew or the alcohol you're used to, but you imagine that, yes, it is alcohol.
Ooh. Huh. Can we get that old cart to work?
As you're both poking around in here, you realize that while it is largely picked over now, that this is a granary. Just like the granary.
On the map.
Oh, and I imagine that meat down there is pretty rotten, too, then.
It smells gamey. However, it's not ancient by any means.
Is it edible, then? Is that what you mean?
Probably not by your digestive system.
Okay. Why scoff at it?
The entire ground suddenly starts to shake.
Oh, not this.
Awesome.
And then stops.
Wow.
We all felt that, Afsama says to the group.
Is Manek even worth this?
I'm starting to doubt it myself, and he's my own blood.
We are on a mission, and we have no way back, so let's move forward by going back to the barracks where we can build a fire, maybe barricade that door with a couple of old cots and stuff. Even keep the horse in there.
It's been days since any of us have rested.
Even a few hours would be great.
I like that plan. Keep the horse in there just in case.
You all exit the granary, intent on walking across the street over to the barracks. The first rays of the morning sun are coming down onto the desert floor. Between you and the barracks, there is a large hole in the ground that wasn't there before. Standing on the side of it is a woman. She's wearing dusty brown leather. Her hair is somewhat short and gray, though she does not look in any way aged. A longsword hangs from her back. The pommel is plated in gold, and you see sapphires set into the hilt. Her right hand is, you see, she kind of holds it against her body, and it's smaller than it should be, kind of gnarled and curled, like a little claw. She watches you exit the granary.
Do I recognize her as... Is she the same woman that I have seen in my visions, or no?
No, completely different.
Okay.
And it's a human?
Yes.
Afsana looks at her and calls out across the expanse of hard-packed earth between them. If this is your territory, we mean you no harm. We're here searching for a prisoner who's been taken from us.
She laughs. Mean me no harm. You could not harm me. This is my city. I am the Great Mother. And you, Del Harun, will never get it back. And as she's saying this, her body is starting to twist, and you see her piercing brown eyes. Suddenly, her leather armor is changing into scales. She's growing and growing, and just fearful. Before you know it, where this human stood, there is a huge, huge brown dragon. Its front claw not reaching the ground, nothing more than a stub. This is my home.
That stone, yeah. forsake of a well-paid profession. And you climb so high to a tower in the sky, above the clamor and a crowd of derision. And from way up here, you just disappear through the gates that create your own prison. Hey, king of the mountain, keep on pushing that stone. Yeah, crimes keep mounting up, pretender to the throne. Hey, king of the mountain, keep on pushing that stone.